Welcome back to the Beloit Daily News Sports Podcast. I am joined by a new guest, an old friend of mine, and a fellow Brewer fanatic. That is John Konarski from Madison. John, what are your spirits like the day after what would have been one of the best wins in years had we not had, you know, an unbelievably dramatic comeback about 4 days earlier in San Diego? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. You know, how could spirits not be high right now, right? I mean, you're 4-1, and you've had an amazing first week here, you know, with some come-from-behind wins that are always exhilarating. You know, I think there's, you know me, Josh, I think there's some room for caution here as well, but you know, I think it's been a pretty exciting first week here, more than we could have ever expected, that's for sure.
John, allow me to bring our listeners into our world a little bit. It was roughly the fourth inning when I received a text from you that read, man, I'm feeling...
We're going to go there, huh?
Here on the podcast, we open up our world, John. We are an open book. And, you know, I believe the text read something like, man, I am feeling a lot different about this team than I did 18 hours ago. And that was in the midst of a 4-0 deficit in which Chase Anderson just looked, he looked really bad last night. And I'm wondering, you know, it was kind of like, if you look at how they won, of course, that's a little fluky, but in terms of the construct of a game in which the Brewers win by scoring 5 runs, allowing their opponents 4, and basically the star of the game, you know, is the bullpen along with a couple of long balls, that is kind of the way this team is constructed, right? Like, don't you anticipate winning a lot of games this year in that 5-4, 6-5, or as we did in San Diego with the Braun home run, 8-6. I mean, don't you kind of see a lot of these types of outcomes?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we've seen certainly that here in the first week, that this team is definitely built in a way, you know, with the additions of Cain and Yelich, which, you know, I think at the time we all thought that this was just the start of, you know, some major moves this offseason, which never materialized after that, and the pitching staff specifically. But I think, obviously, David Stearns has constructed this team to win games, like you just said, you know, by getting decent but probably not great starting pitching, you know, good innings out of the bullpen, which they've been phenomenal so far, and an offense that's, probably going to, you know, probably built now to put up, you know, 5-6 runs on most nights and win those games, you know, 6-5, 5-4 with a lights-out bullpen to finish off games, or, you know, in the way we've won a couple of these games now, coming from behind late in the innings with our offense. I mean, to answer your question, I think that's absolutely... I mean, what we've seen already this first week, I think the way this team is going to have to win, you know, at least games early on this year until we figure out, you know, what we have in a Jimmy Nelson coming back, or, you know, if there's moves to be made in July, you know, in the rotation, or if a Corbin Burns is ready to contribute, you know, at some point later on this year. But I mean, the rotation is kind of what it is right now. You know, I mean, I don't know if we can glean too much in what happened with Chase Anderson last night. I mean, it's just one bad start. Hopefully it's not something we see a trend with him, but because I think we're going to need him to be much better than what he showed yesterday. But I think this offense certainly is, you know, it's been an exciting first week with this offense, you know, with you know, guys getting on base in front of the middle of the order. And, I mean, you can just see with Cain and Yelich already just the vast improvement that we've seen with, you know, how much more dynamic this offense can be.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting study in terms of 5 games. It's funny because in the construct of how these games have gone, the Brewers playing this way is both completely sustainable in the big picture and completely unsustainable, because we've needed two, not one, but two, you know, just about historic comebacks. I mean, yesterday was unprecedented just in the way the game started, with two home runs by the Cardinals and ended with two home runs by the Brewers. Yeah. But also, you know, how many times, I'm guessing this is going to be the only time this year that the Brewers enter a ninth inning trailing by three runs and end up winning. I mean, that stuff just, you know, I think Council said that, you know, those games happen about once every 5 years. That's and that does seem about right. So the, you know, the way they're doing it in general, sustainable. The way that these crazy finishes have happened, and even, you know, a third win in on opening day was not a fluke, but it was, you needed some luck there.
Exactly.
And so we've had one routine victory and one, you know, kind of pretty bad loss, you know, on the ledger so far. So, I mean, do you feel like that, that the pitching is, the starters are bound to get better here, or is that kind of what everybody's, you know, fretting about right now?
I mean, I think if most fans are, you know, in a similar boat that I'm in right now, I think you've got to be encouraged with, again, the 4-1 start for this team, and just, you know, the different pieces of optimism that you've seen with, you know, guys like Kane and Yelich. But as you said, I mean, we cannot, you know, this team cannot rely on ninth inning magic every night, you know what I mean? Because as you said, that's just not sustainable. I mean, we're, you know, the Cardinals, first of all, aren't going to be throwing Leon or whatever his name
yep.
is in the ninth inning here in another week or two, or whenever
Greg Holland. Yeah.
And whenever Greg Holland becomes available. So that's, you know, it's going to become a much taller task going up against the Cardinals in a couple of weeks here. So, you know, I think, again, the optimists will say, you know, 4-1, you know, we've seen a lot of good things from the offense, from the bullpen. But I think the pessimists will certainly say that, you know, this team could very easily be 1-4 right now. You know, I mean, we've had three of those wins that could have very easily have been losses. You know, as you mentioned, opening day, you know, we were on the ropes there, you know, that Jeremy Jeffress pulled us out of that, I think it was a 10th inning, right, to 10th
mm-hmm.
inning situation,
yeah.
And that could have very easily been a loss. The Friday night Braun, you know, 9th inning magic in San Diego, and then last night, I mean, those were all games that we ended up winning that we very easily could have lost. Now, we didn't. We, you know, this team has shown a lot of clutch ability so far to win these late games, but as you said, it's not sustainable long term. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to see a game here tonight where we get off to an early lead and we kind of coast and not have to worry about watching, you know, some late inning heroics from our offense to pull games out. So, you know, I think you can look at it. Certainly, there's a lot of positives to glean from this first week, but you know, I think there's some concerns, you know, with the rotation specifically. You know, and are we going to get, you know, 6-7 innings, good, you know, quality starts? I mean, because I think this offense is good enough to score enough runs most nights. You know, if we can get what Major League Baseball describes as a quality start, right? I think it's still 6 innings of three
yep.
runs. I mean, if we get that most nights, I think we'll be in decent shape. But so far, we're not getting that, and so I think that's I think there's some room for some concern there until we start seeing more quality starts from this rotation.
What are your thoughts on how Craig Counsell has managed the outfield dilemma? I thought it was interesting, kind of an interesting early look into how this may play out when they did face two right-handers in a row, and on both occasions, you know, Ryan Braun was essentially chosen over Domingo Santana, and as it looked last night, it was like, oh, Braun was looking terrible at the plate. Santana comes in, gets the base hit, And it was like, oh, what are we doing here? And then, of course, Braun with the heroics at the end on that first pitch. But what are your thoughts generally on how the rotation has worked in that regard?
Well, I mean, I think that's the question that I think all Brewer fans still have right now is how Council is going to continue to manage this situation. And, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, here we've got a game, you know, sixth game tonight, and, you know, going up against Carlos Martinez, right, a right-handed pitcher. You know, and I think you would expect Domingo to, I mean, he's had 2 days off now, which, you know, again, this is a guy that I think most view as should be an everyday regular player for a major league team. And, you know, we've had to sit him now two straight games, you know, to keep Thames in there against the righties. And Braun, you know, you want to keep his bat in the lineup too. I would assume that we're going to see Domingo in the lineup tonight. But, you know, are you going to take Braun out of the lineup after, you know, hitting a game-winning bomb last night? I'm guessing they will. And I think the one thing that we do need to take into consideration is, you know, Braun, as we've seen over the past couple of years, I think it works. It's going to work better with him to you know, give him these days off, you know, so that he's healthier, hopefully healthier, as the season goes on. And I think, you know, having him play more, you know, in that 120 to 130 game range is probably better for this team long term. You know, and I think we'll probably get more production out of Braun if he's just playing 120 to 130 games. But, you know, I mean, to answer your question, I think this is going to be a season-long issue, you know, on finding enough playing time for, you know, all of these guys in the outfield. And then you've got the first base dilemma right now, and I'm sure that's going to get solved here soon, you know, as we put Woodruff back in the rotation now, and, you know, they're probably going to want to get another bullpen arm up here. So then you've got the issue of what to do with Jesus Aguilar, you know, unless if somebody else gets, you know, sent away. But I'm assuming they're going to have to do something there with Jesus to, you know, free up more playing time there for Thames and Braun. So I don't know. I think this is going to be a season-long dilemma and issue for Council to push the right buttons on a nightly basis and keep these guys, you know, fresh and keep these guys, you know, kind of locked in and, I guess, play the hot hand. But, you know, you just don't want to see, you know, by all accounts, this team really seems to get along well and seems to be pulling in the same direction. But, you know, I mean, as the season goes on and guys aren't happy with playing time, I mean, you know, you don't want that to fracture the clubhouse in any way either and, you know, ruin the good thing that they seem to have going there from a chemistry standpoint.
Yeah, you know, David Stearns at the press conference before the home opener said, you know, everybody's going to play a lot. And guess what? You know, the guys that we've got down in AAA, referring specifically to Broxton and Phillips, they're going to play here too, because we're going to have injuries. You know, they do happen. And almost whoever is injured at this point means an outfielder's coming up, because you've got guys like Perez, you know, Stogard, that kind of thing to kind of backfill in the infield. So you've got coverage there. So the first injury up, which, you know, no team has ever, you know, gone 162 games without having any injuries in its position player group. So it, you know, that'll solve some of it. But for right now, yeah, it is, it was odd to see Santana out 2 days in a row, but, you know, you're going to have to sit somebody. And it's just a matter of, you know, hopefully him making the right decisions matchup wise. And Martinez is going to be a tough one as we record this on Wednesday afternoon.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, just to make another point too, I mean, I think it's, you know, this is obviously, it's a dilemma right now, because everybody's healthy, you know, and we've got a bunch of guys, a bunch of outfielders that all, you know, should be playing every day. But I mean, I do understand, you know, especially David Stern's sentiment that depth is good, you know, and you know, would you rather, I mean, if Braun gets hurt, you know, would you rather have, you know, Domingo Santana filling in for multiple weeks until, you know, Braun gets healthy again? Or, you know, would you rather have a Keon Broxton or a Brett Phillips? And, I like Keon and Phillips, but you would still rather have a Domingo Santana playing every day in that situation than you would, you know, a minor, you know, a younger, you know, young, I guess they're not that much younger than Domingo, but less qualified, you know, candidates to fill that role. And so I think the depth will eventually really help this team. But, you know, again, it's going to be up to council to push the right buttons and to make sure that the, you know, that the chemistry with this team stays strong, because I think that, you know, I think we saw last year that was a big aspect of this team. I mean, they really enjoyed playing the game, playing together, you know, and I think it's really cool too, just to point this out, you know, you see, like, I'm sure you've seen it on Twitter, but you know, you see some of these guys down the minor leagues, like a Brett Phillips, I mean, who's genuinely excited about what's happening already up in Milwaukee, even though he's got to be, you know, devastated that he's not up here contributing. But, you know, I think you see the chemistry, you know, not just up here at the major league level, but even the guys down the minors are really, you know, I mean, I think everybody's bought into the direction and, you know, and to the, just the culture of this franchise right now, which is really exciting.
You know, to speak to that, I was on the phone the other day with Cam Regner, who is in the starting rotation for the Carolina Mudcats, and he told me really an interesting story about how after the game on after the minor league game wrapped up on Friday night, all the guys were kind of standing milling around the clubhouse, and they had a TV in the little lobby area. And, you know, the Brewers happened to be in the midst of that ninth inning rally, and they ended up, you know, coming back, of course, and winning behind the big Braun home run. He said the guys were just going crazy. And he said that everybody's really excited, you know, about the season. And that does kind of start at the top with, you know, with the major league team being competitive. It kind of gives everyone else a little bit of a sense of pride. And he mentioned, too, just how little things that they've changed, even in the you know, gosh, the 2 years, almost 2 years now, and it'll be 2 years in June since he's joined the organization. He just feels like the quality of instruction has gone up. And so that stuff's great to hear. You know, when it's reaching those levels, you know, you got good something great going on. And speaking of that, we'll wrap things up today by just delving a little bit into the Brewers minor league system. As exciting as opening day is, and there's nothing that beats opening day and to a lesser extent the home opener, but tomorrow, Thursday, is a pretty big day too. We are big minor league fans, and I'm just wondering what you're looking forward to most about following as these Brewers prospects continue their way up the ladder.
Well, I think it's, you know, I mean, even, you know, even after, you know, obviously we gave up a, you know, a really big haul there, you know, for Yelich, you know, we gave up a lot of talent, and so that's talent that's no longer in our system. But, you know, I'm really excited about, you know, the quality and the quantity of the talent that we still have in the system, the depth that we still have in the system. I mean, I think there's, you know, obviously you've got guys like, you know, Keston Hira and Corbin Burns, you know, and guys like that at the top of the system, or at the top of the prospect list, that, you know, I think we're, you know, anybody that follows the prospects in the minor league system, I think are going to be locked into, you know, some of those guys. But, I mean, there's a lot of intriguing guys that, you know, that are kind of outside of that top 20 prospect list that I think, you know, not all of them are going to pan out. We know that, especially in baseball. I mean, there's a high flame out percentage of prospects, but I think, you know, I really like the direction that you know, our system is still moving in, you know, with the quality of talent that we have. So I guess for me, it's just, you know, it's just for somebody that likes to follow this, it's just, it's looking for those next good stories. guys that maybe aren't, you know, clear right now, you know, like a Brandon Woodruff from a couple of years ago. And, you know, I mean, really Burns kind of came really on the scene last year and turned himself into a, you know, a top 50 prospect now. And it's, you know, I think there's guys that are still at the lower end of our system that, you know, that have that potential. Now we'll see, not all of them are going to, you know, not all of them are going to end up that way, but, you know, all we need are, you know, one or two a year, those really good stories, you know. And then I think there's also, there's some of those guys that were drafted a few years ago, like a Cody, you know, Medeiros and Jake Gatewood and Trent Grisham and those guys that, you know, and even a Corey Ray, who was, you know, a year after those guys or a year or two after those guys. This is a big year for some of those guys too, that, you know, that really kind of need to regain some of their prospect status. And some, you know, I'm intrigued to see if those guys have made some adjustments, you know, and I'm really intrigued to see, you know, how they perform this year. Because I think this is a big year for a lot of those guys to either regain that prospect status or potentially fall back into more of the Clint Coulter type realm, where they're just, you know, waddling away down in single A ball now. So I think there's some, you know, I think it's a big year for a lot of those guys as well.
Yeah, no question. It's going to be a lot of fun. The rosters, all four of those rosters, you know, really stacked with talent. Wisconsin probably has the most question marks, but also, you know, that's typically the level that guys tend to emerge and might not necessarily be able to read into a lot of the numbers, especially hitting-wise in the first 6 weeks or so, as we're seeing here, because of the weather. But it'll be a lot of fun. So, all right, John. Well, I appreciate you joining me here today.
Absolutely.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Sports Podcast, and we'll talk to you again soon.